As you look back in your career, I think I know the answer to this. You're most proud of what?
Absolutely. I'll say my OLAP bill.
Yeah.
I would say that is the greatest achievement ever because it has affected so many people in this state. And to be able to see their faces when I've gone over for the rallies and they say, well, you take a picture with us and whatever. Then you have someone come up and say, you know, had it not been for this bill, I would not have been able to get through school. That is the most rewarding thing ever that could happen. And I'm so glad that now leadership has moved forward, looked at it, and approved on it along the way and realized that they needed to do something about family income. So I'm real happy that that's moving in a direction that can bring even more people in who are not just limited to a very small income. Right.
And again, you got the idea from the 60-minute production.
It was a 60-minute production, and he was out of Louisiana.
And you grabbed that idea.
And he actually came to Oklahoma. I just wish I could remember his name.
Yeah, he came because of this.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the fact that you took an idea and ran with it. Mentors, there are certain people who you would look to as your mentors, were helpful to you. Can you name some
of
them?
Well, first and foremost, I would say my mom, the greatest ever. I would say my mom. And then I would have to say one outstanding woman was Thelma Whitlow. She was director of North Tulsa YWCA for many, many, many years. And, of course, you know her husband was Mr. Whitlow, who was principal of Booker T. Washington High School. Living in a segregated community and seeing firsthand someone in a professional capacity was Mrs. Whitlow. And I think the fact that she was always bringing cultural things, even though you were denied access to them in Tulsa, in a segregated community. She made sure that even if the instructors would not allow you in their studio, she made arrangements somehow to get them to come to the North Y and do a teaching, even although they were only teaching little black kids.
Yeah.
I would have to say those two people, of course, there are some others, but I would have to say those two. And I would go to her a lot for advice if I was thinking about doing something, just to get her input, just to have that positive influence on me as a kid and even as an adult was part of who I am today.
That's great. And I'm sure you've been a mentor to many.
Hopefully I have.
Yes. This is kind of out of place, but the lunch counter sit-ins that were started in the 60s, are you tied to that in any way?
No. I did march. I did march through the streets, and of course I always kind of laugh at the fact that when there was a cafeteria in North Tulsa in that shopping center that was Northland or Northgate or whatever it was called Borden's, I remember I had my kids, Don and Sherry, and I had them by hand, and my husband was saying, I don't think you need to be out there in them streets doing that. You're going to kill our kids, and you know, you shouldn't do this. So anyway, when all that stuff came to pass and you were able to go to Borden's, we went there for dinner. My son started crying, and I said, what are you crying about? He said, well, were we marching the street for these mashed potatoes? Because they're horrible.
So they let blacks in then.
Yes.
And, of course, we know the story of Clara Luber, who
started
that in Oklahoma City.
Right.
But then there were sit-in demonstrations in Tulsa,
right.
too.
Right, yes.
What advice do you give for women who are considering running for political office?
Well, first and foremost is really be relentless in terms of what you're running for and be resilient and have thick skin. Be able to withstand criticism, however it may come your way. And I would say read. I was listening to Elijah Cummings' widow this morning, and I was so struck by the fact that she had to almost kind of remind people, hey, I worked side by side with Elijah. I mean, I really had my own thing going as well. You know, she's stepping out and going to run for this seat. But I think when you have a passion, and I think that would be first and foremost your passion. The reason I came is because I wanted to see a change in education. I didn't like what happened to the teachers. God knows that they are the most underpaid. And I admire the professor who was at Booker T, who decided, I'm going to get in and try to make a change. Just bring your strengths to the table and don't give up. Some of that stuff, it won't bring it up in committee. They're not going to bring it up. You get on the floor, you think you have the votes, and then you don't. You know, I forgot to tell you that I was talking to my people back home, and they didn't like this bill. So you've got to be prepared for whatever may be thrown your way, but never give up on your passion. Because if you're trying to make a change and you feel strongly about it, I think you will eventually achieve that goal. And I say keep your eye on the prize and stay focused.
Yeah. Your son came in here, a handsome young man, well-dressed. I would imagine he knows he's able to conduct business in town because of people like you and Olders who went before him. You have certainly let him know and taught him that, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And even with my grandson, Corey, my thing is, and as I've said to my daughter as well, I said, if I can open a door for you, I will. But you've got to be able to walk through that door and carry it yourself.
Yeah.
So whatever you're going to be about, you've got to make it happen. You can't rest on the fact that my mom is this or my dad is this. But if mom or dad can open that door for you, then you've got to be able to walk through it and carry that torch on.
Yeah. You had doors open and you walked through them and you were very successful. So how would you like to be remembered?
I think most and foremost that I would say that a very loyal, trustworthy person. That's the way I would want to be remembered.
Yeah, I think we all would like to be. I still want to check your driver's license to see that you are 87
years old.
That's just so hard to believe. Were there long livers in your family?
Absolutely not. My two siblings, the ones in California, because Chuck is younger, but even he, we have all three lived past our mom and dad. My mom was 60 plus. Hmm. My dad was 70 plus when he passed. And then some of my mom's siblings were young as well. So we laugh and talk about it. I said, well, some mornings you just sit there for a while and you don't know what pain's going to come your way, but just wait a minute, you'll get it.
You're right. People then ask you, well, how did you live to this age? Are you able to answer that question?
Well, I think being in a happy place and not having pity parties and those kinds of things, and try to surround yourself with positive people. I kind of run from negative. Not kind of, I do run from negative environments, and I don't want to be a part of that. It's the same thing with TV. If this is all theater today, like the hearings yesterday, I think I'm going to put on music. I just don't think I want to hear you guys go through all of that. You know, I don't want to hear this stuff, because I know later on I'll get the recaps and I'll find out some of the stuff that you were saying. And I know we're in a very divisive time. I've even at this point started just trying to shake my head or laugh. You know, for a while there, I was just angry, and you just say, what is going on with our country and how embarrassing our national people are acting and governing? But I've tried to turn away and look at something positive. Even Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, and I love comedy, certain kinds of comedy now, where you can laugh. I think that's another thing, is just to live, love, and laugh.
So be on the positive side. And the rest of it, we don't know. I mean,
right.
Your genes and,
well,
good health. So,
and I just say a day at a time. Every morning, I just thank God. I said, I thank you for this day because I'm alive and I'm still on this planet.
You got to live this long.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I consider it a privilege that I got to meet you in person and talk to you.
Well, I've listened to you all through the years, always in the car. Of course, I know your lovely wife.
Margaret.
Yes. In fact, I remember Margaret when I think I was trying to get one of my kids before she went into
the lobbying
when she was at the Mayo Demonstration School.
Yeah.
She helped me with getting my kids in that school.
Yeah.
Here again, I go back to education, so you know where my heart is.
Absolutely. And we're glad it was. Thank you.
Okay.
This was fun, Maxine. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, thanks, and I enjoyed it myself.